This is the story. Here is another of the programs from the Cavalcade of America, The Great McGraw, presented on This is the Story. Pat O'Brien as The Great McGraw on the Cavalcade of America. The baseball season is in full swing, and once again old-timers are talking about the good old days of baseball when John J. McGraw was managing the New York Giants.
You bums. You bushes. You call yourself baseball players? Why, I could go out on any sand lot in the country and pick up a team that could play the pants off you. You're folded like a lot of empty sacks today. Well, listen to this. When you play for me, you play baseball as hard and tough as you can. You don't let up for a minute. Some of you got the idea that baseball's only a game. Well, it's not. It's a career. A whole life. And the guy who thinks I'm wrong is going to find himself warm on the bench. But not on my team.
Yeah, that was him, McGraw of the Giants. The man who drove his teams to 7 National League pennants and 4 World Championships. And me? Well, I'm the bleacher bug, an old-timer. I'll never forget John J. McGraw. He was baseball, and he still is. He started with the Giants back in 1902. Started with a bang on the day he walked into Andrew Friedman's office. Friedman, who owned the Giants.
McGraw, what the devil have you been doing with the team?
Getting rid of Deadwood, Mr. Friedman. 9 of the players you got on your roster.
What? 9 players?
Out they go. Here are their names.
These men? But they cost me $14,000.
You got stung. They're not worth it. I brought some real ball players with me from Baltimore. Fielder Jones, Ed Delahanty, George Davis.
You won't bring that Davis on my club. I don't like him and I won't have it.
You'll have him and you'll like him. I'm running this ball club, and I'll get the players I want.
Well, you may be the manager, but I own the club, and I say you won't hire that Davis.
Shut up! You may own this club, but I'm the boss. I run this club, or I quit. Take your choice.
All right. Go ahead. I'll let you run the team to suit yourself.
Oh, you bet you will.
Stormy, aggressive, yeah. But he knew baseball and baseball players. He proved that one day when he went to the Polo Grounds for a practice session.
Fogle. Hey, Fogle, get over here.
Yeah. What's the matter, Mac?
That kid out there playing short, what's he doing there?
Doing? He's a shortstop.
Shortstop? You're off your trolley. Look at the way he throws the ball.
Well, I had him at first, but he was no good there either.
Oh, no? Try him at groundkeeper?
Now, wait a minute, Mac. I'm trying to find ball players for this club.
Send that kid to me right now.
Okay. Hey, kid, you at short. Come over here.
All right, Fogle. You get back to your fungo hitting.
Okay, Mac.
You want to meet Mr. McGraw?
Yeah. Yeah, you like playing short?
Well, I love baseball. I'd play any place.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Roger. Bresnahan.
Yeah?
Let this kid throw you a few. You stay where you are.
Okay. Fire away, kid.
What do you want me to do, Mr. McGraw?
Got a ball in your hand, haven't you? There's that tub of lard with a catcher's mitt on. Throw the ball.
All right. Like that?
Yeah, like that. Let me stand behind you. Toss it back, Roger.
Okay.
Now, do that again.
Do what again?
Throw it.
How's that?
What kind of a ball was that?
No, well, I don't know. I just hold it like this, and then I throw it.
All right. You get together with Bresnahan. I'll tell him you to pitch to him every day for an hour or so.
Okay with me, Mr. McGraw.
That's a nice pitching motion you got.
Thanks. I like pitching.
So do I when it's good. Oh, by the way, what's your name, kid?
Mathewson. Christy Mathewson.
And how right McGraw was about Matty. The Giants finished second the next season, and Matty won 30 games. Then in 1904, McGraw drove his team to the National League pennant, and New York went nuts. McGraw repeated in 1905 and beat the Athletics in a World Series. In four seasons, the scrap and sweat and yelling McGraw lifted a last-place team and pushed it right to the top. But in 1906, something happened. The Cubs won the pennant. McGraw thought about it a lot, and it hurt. Hurt plenty. But when the season was over, he knew what he had to do.
Matty, you and I are good friends.
Sure, Mac.
All right, I'm going to tell you something. You know why we finished second this year?
Well, we had bad breaks, Mac. Bresnahan hit in the head by a pitch ball. Donlin broke his leg, and I had to go and get sick.
That's not it, Matty.
We'll make it different next year.
No, no, we won't. Matty, I forgot that time goes on in baseball the same as it does in everything else. I got used to a winning combination. I thought it wouldn't wear out, but it did. Matty, I'm going to tear down the team and start building a new one. It's going to be hard to do because the men on the club are my friends. But if baseball's going to live, if I'm going to give the fans the kind of baseball they want to watch, I got to hurt those men. Hurt myself while I'm doing it.
McGraw finished fourth the next year, but he did it with a new team, one that showed promise. That was 1907. McGraw was right again. Well, the season of 1908 come up, and it was a honey. Giants and Cubs snarling at each other all the way. Then, September 23 at the Polo Ground, score, Cubs won, Giants won. Last half of the ninth, Giants up. McCormick on third with a winning run, Merkel on first. Bridwell up with two outs. Fans hanging from the rafters, yelling, screaming. McGraw coaching at third, walking up and down, clapping his hands, punching the air with his fists. Then it happened. Bridwell took a cut at the ball. Bridwell smacked it out into center field for a hit. McCormick streaked for home with a winning run, and the game was over. When suddenly Johnny Evers, the Cubs' second baseman, began screeching like a madman.
The ball, throw it here, here to second, the ball. Merkel didn't touch second, it's a force out.
Nobody knows exactly what happened, but around second base there was a knot of Giants and Cubs. Fans streaming onto the field, umpire Emsley going for the clubhouse, Merkel running for the clubhouse too. And at second base... Then at 10 o'clock that night, plate umpire Hank O'Day ruled...
Evers is right. Merkel didn't touch second base, and Evers tagged the bag to force him out. McCormick's run doesn't count, so the game's a tie, Mac.
What? Listen, if Merkel was fouled start of second, you shouldn't call the game a tie right then and there. Right then and there, you should have called it a tie. You should have ordered play resumed, but you didn't. So we won the game, and nobody can take it away from us.
But McGraw's protest was ruled out. The game declared a tie. And from that day on, everywhere that Merkel went, the fans roared him unmercifully.
Hey, don't hit Merkel! You're going to touch second today! The clubhouse look good to you, bonehead!
Hey, Fred. Fred, come here.
Yeah? What do you want, Mac?
Look, Fred.
Yeah?
You're letting those wolves in the stands get you.
No, they don't bother me at all, I guess.
They're under your skin.
Well,
I know, but let me tell you something, Fred. I've been fighting those wolves for years now. They're part and parcel of baseball. Ride with them and you're in. Let them throw you and you're out.
But I... maybe I am a bonehead, Mac.
Now, look. Here's a way to handle those wolves. Come over here to the stands. I'll show you. Hey, loudmouth up there in the stands. You with the funny face.
Me? You talking to me?
I didn't know you could understand English, you top-heavy lunkhead.
Go soak your fat head, you bum.
Yeah, you probably sneaked in the park anyhow.
Is that so? Go on, Muggsy.
Muggsy! Muggsy! Come down here and say that, and I'll rip you apart.
Muggsy! Dear old Muggsy!
Ah, you cheap gate crasher.
You don't like the name, Muggsy, do you, Muggsy?
I'll break your neck.
McGraw, get back on the bench before I throw you off the field.
Off the field? I'm going to climb up there and...
All right, 10 seconds to get off the field. One, two...
All right.
Now, you see what I mean, Fred? Get right back at him. Never let him get under your skin.
Sure. I see, Mac.
I'll break that guy's neck if I ever get hold of him.
The end of the season came with the Giants and Cubs tied for first. A playoff was called, and the Giants lost 4-2. The Cubs took the flag that year, and everybody blamed Fred Merkle. But McGraw told everybody in front of Merkle and the rest of the team,
it's criminal and stupid to blame Fred for the loss of the game or the pennant. In the first place, he's one of the best and smartest players in the game. In the second place, we lost 12 games this year that we should have won. 24. Any one of them would have saved the pennant for us. But you picked on something you called a bonehead play and said that lost the flag for us. And nobody's going to blame Merkle for that. Besides, we were robbed.
McGraw never lost a chance to praise Merkle. He lifted Fred's morale when he needed it bad. And a player that might have been hounded out of baseball helped McGraw win pennants in 1911, 12, and 13. McGraw was right again. Well, there's so much about McGraw that, well, you can't tell it all. But there was one thing about him. He never let any of his boys cross him up or disobey orders. No matter if the Giants won or lost, McGraw was boss. Take that day when the Giants were in a close one with Cincinnati. It was the last half of the ninth. Reds, one run to the good. The Giants had Ross Young on third. Now, it wasn't John's style to play for just one run, see? But this time he figured he'd cross the Reds up. Larry was picking up his bat when John said,
Larry.
Yeah?
Let a couple go by on the third pitch, drag a bunt to third.
Bunt? Oh, but Mac...
You heard me, drag a bunt to third.
Okay, Mac.
He hit it! He hit the first pitch!
Over the fence into 8th Avenue for a home run!
All right, come on, John. Let's go. The game's over.
Wait a minute. Here he comes. Hey. Hey, you, come here. What did I tell you to do?
Oh, but John, he grooved it right to me.
When I tell you to bunt, I mean bunt.
Oh, but I won the game with that homer.
And that homer will just cost you a $50 fine.
Oh, wait a minute, John. I thought he was going to give it to me letter high, and I purposely swung low. I meant to miss it, but it took a dip down.
Oh, you did, huh?
Oh, well, sure. That's the way it happened. That's the way it was. It was just a mistake.
Uh-huh. Well, for that kind of mistake, the fine is $100.
John McGraw was strict, sure. But he also knew how to make his Giants believe in themselves when the going was rough. He'd make them believe the other team was pushovers. Like in 1921, when the Pirates were leading the league by 7.5 games. They came to the Polo Grounds for a crucial 5-game series, see? And they were sitting on top of the world. In their locker rooms, they let everybody know it.
Giants, Giants, oh, what awful bums. We'll murder them, slaughter them, make them crawl on the sidewalk of New York. McGraw and all his pushers will walk the plank today. We'll put the finishing touches to the sidewalk of New York.
Now, listen to them bums, Grimm, Moranville, and Tierney.
Whoever told Charlie Grimm he could sing ought to be towed out to sea and burned.
Photographers all over the joint snapping them ugly pirate mugs. Who do they think they are?
Who do they think they are? Those are the guys with the 7.5 game lead. Maybe they got a right to sing. Maybe they got a right to mug for the photogs.
Yeah, maybe, Mac. Well, let them. Next year it'll be different.
Next year? Next year? I'm talking about this year.
What do you mean?
I mean you got a soft touch look at them posing, grinning a bunch of clowns. Why don't you guys wise up?
What do you mean, wise up?
Listen to them and look at them, that's all. They're ripe to be pushed over because they think they can't be. They got the big head and they're showing off. They're thinking about how good those mugs are going to look on the sports page, not about baseball.
Yeah, they seem kind of sure of themselves.
Well, they are. Now, listen. We got a 5-game series with them. We win all 5 and they're in front by only 2.5. We get them wobbly. When they go over to Brooklyn, the Dodgers can finish the job. Now, let's get out there and spoil them pretty faces.
Which is just what happened. The Giants smashed to the top and won the flag. Then came 1925. That year, well, it took something away from Mac and give him something, too. As for the given, it was near the end of September. A thick-legged kid about 16 years old carrying a straw suitcase and looking scared went into McGraw's office.
Mr. McGraw?
Huh? Well, what do you want? Who are you?
Harry Williams sent me from Louisiana. Said you might give me a chance with the Giants.
You did, huh? How old are you?
16.
16, and you want to play with the Giants. Well, what do you do?
I hit pretty good.
What makes you think you can touch major league pitching?
I don't know yet, but I want to try.
Well, all right. Climb into a uniform and see what happens.
You're going to hire me right now?
No, but I'm going to look at you. Harry Williams never gave me a bum steer yet. Go ahead, pick up a uniform. Show up in the grounds in about half an hour.
Here I am, Mr. McGraw.
Okay. Grab a bat. See what you can do.
Right, Mr. McGraw.
Look at the way that kid's built, Ed.
Yeah.
Shoulders, legs. Looks like he knows what it's all about at the plate, too.
Okay, kid. Take a cut at the next one.
Yes, sir.
Holy mackerel. Did you see that?
What a cut.
He can hit.
Hey, a couple of seasons in the minors and he'll be all right.
Minors? Not for that kid. I'm keeping him right here. Nobody's going to ruin that beautiful batting style.
Kid, come here. Come on, step on.
Was that what you wanted, Mr. McGraw?
Exactly, and you got a job, kid. Playing baseball with the Giants.
Well, gee, want me to hit some more?
You will, kid, you will, and plenty of time. First, we got work to do. Oh, what did you say your name was?
It's Ott, Mr. McGraw. Mel Ott.
Years ago. And today, Mel Ott's managing John McGraw's club. But there was something else that happened in 1925, in October. Mac was in Pittsburgh watching the series between the Pirates and the Senators.
Mac. Hey, Mac.
Well, Harry Cross, come on in, sit down. How's the best sports writer in the business?
Mac, look, Christy Mathewson just died.
Oh, no, Harry.
He died up in Saranac.
I can't believe it.
We got the message up in the press coop, John. Came over the ticker.
Maddie. With me from the first day I came to the Giants. It's more than 20 years.
You want me to get a couple seats on the train back, John? They'll be burying him at his home in Lewisburg. I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd appreciate it, Harry. I never felt so alone in my life, Harry. Maddie and I went through together to 3 pennants and a couple of world championships. He took me to the top. Oh, I'm just wishing I could trade it all to have him back. All of it.
Where are you going now, John?
Right now? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to take a little walk. By myself.
McGraw lost Matty, his best friend, and a ball player who had risen to greatness at the Polo Grounds with him. And when people read about Matty's death, they remembered a lot of other players Mac had brought along to baseball's Hall of Fame. The list would make a string as long as you're on. Then in 1932, a sports writer was just killing some time in the Polo Grounds, walking along the corridor, when he happened to look at the bulletin board.
Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel! Hello. Quick, give me sports. Hello, Jerry? Yeah, it's me again. I'm still at the Polo Grounds. Listen, hold everything for this and get it good. John McGraw just resigned as manager of the Giants. Huh? Would I be pulling a gag like that? I'm telling it straight. John McGraw resigned as manager of the Giants. I'll get details later, as soon as I can.
Yeah, just that. A notice on the bulletin board that one of the greatest managers the game ever knew had resigned after 30 years at the head of a team he'd made one of the greatest in baseball. And later...
But, John, why?
Yeah, can't you give us any more?
Well, put it this way. A long time ago, 25 years ago to be exact, I tore down a Giant team that won 2 pennants. There was Deadwood on it. Deadwood that would have slowed us up. Well, maybe I'm Deadwood now. Maybe I've slowed up.
You? Not a chance.
No, well, I'm stepping down anyhow. Well,
who's going in?
I can't tell you that yet, boys. You'll all get it at the same time, though. But I can tell you this. Whoever steps in is going to be boss, not just a front for me. I never let anybody else tell me how to run the team when I was manager. And I don't expect anybody who goes in now to take orders from anybody but himself.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks, Mac. Oh, Mac.
Yeah?
What are you going to do now?
Me? Oh, I don't know. I'll stick around, be vice president, and...
And what, Mac?
And watch the games from the office window.
After 30 years, John McGraw stepped down, and there was a good reason. He was sick. But in 1933... he watched the Giants take another flag and a World Series. Then, on February 25th, 1934, the baseball world was stunned.
John J. McGraw, one of the greatest managers in the game, died today at the New Rochelle Hospital.
All the old-timers, and rookies too, remember that short, husky figure, always fighting, always driving... Always saying,
when you play baseball, play it as hard and as tough as you can. Don't let up for a minute. Some of you got the idea that baseball's only a game. Well, it's not. It's a career. And it's got to be your whole life.
You have been listening to The Great McGraw, a presentation from the Cavalcade of America series, brought to you by This Is the Story. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.